We read in 1 Peter chapter 1 that all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. We're going to have our first reading now from 2 Peter chapter 3. It should be page 1223 on the church Bibles, which you find on their shelf at the seat in front of you. So page 1223, 2 Peter chapter 3, and Rosemary's going to read for us.
Second letter of Peter, chapter 3. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to record the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Saviour through your apostles. Above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation." But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also, the world at that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking of them, of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position. But grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen.
Thank you, Rosemary. And if we turn now to our main reading for today, it's the book of Jude. It's the one just before Revelation at the end of the Bible. It says there next to 3 John, but it's probably easier to find from the back of the Bible, Revelation, and then the next one back is Jude. Page 1231. So we'll read. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James, to those who have been called, who are loved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt compelled to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to God's holy people. For certain individuals whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. Though you already know all this, I want to remind you that the Lord at one time delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their positions of authority, but abandoned their proper dwelling, these he has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment on the great day. In a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. They serve as an example of those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire. In the very same way, on the strength of their dreams, these ungodly people pollute their own bodies, reject authority, and heap abuse on celestial beings. But even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not himself dare to condemn him for slander, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." Yet these people slander whatever they do not understand, and the very things they do understand by instinct, as irrational animals do, will destroy them. Woe to them! They have taken the way of Cain. They have rushed for profit into Balaam's error. They have been destroyed in Korah's rebellion. These people are blemishes at your love feasts, eating with you without the slightest qualm. Shepherds who feed only themselves. They are clouds without rain, blown along by the wind. Autumn trees without fruit and uprooted, twice dead. They are wild waves of the sea, foaming up their shame. Wandering stars for whom blackest darkness has been reserved forever. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about them. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all of them of all the ungodly acts they have committed in their ungodliness and of all the defiant words ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These people are grumblers and fault finders. They follow their own evil desires. They boast about themselves and flatter others for their own advantage. But, dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the people who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. To others show mercy, mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Joel. I'm the Assistant Minister. Please keep the Bibles open at the book of Jude. We'll look at it. Before we look at it, let me pray. Father God, we thank you for your word, and thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who is the Word incarnate, who has come, and who has also given us the Holy Spirit for us. Thank you that you have promised that when two or three are gathered, you will be with us through the Holy Spirit. Even we pray that as we look into your word, you would shine the light of your truth into our hearts, that we will be able to put the belt of truth around us and stand in the fight, to stand against the lies of the devil and to fight a good fight, content for the truth of the gospel. We ask everything in Jesus' name. Amen. So we are looking at the book of Jude. The next slide. So imagine a little girl standing at the edge of the busy road. So sorry, I want to say this is an all-age service, and children are very welcome to come to the front if you're happy to. There are some seats in the front. You're very welcome to come, but you're happy to, if you're happy to stay in your place, fine. So it's going to say, imagine a little girl. She's standing at the edge of a busy road. Big trucks are roaring past. She needs to get to the other side. And her dad is right there with her. Watch what happens as they cross. She grips his hand tightly. She's holding on with everything she has got, watching the trucks, being careful, taking her steps at just the right moment. But the dad is also gripping her hands. And he's also gripping her tightly. If she trips, if she gets scared and freezes on the road, if the truck comes faster than expected, she can trust that her dad will hold on to her and will do everything possible to take her to the other side safely. So, just a question to start with. So, who gets this girl safely the other side? It's her walking and holding on to her dad, or is it her dad who has taken her safely to the other side? Both. Yeah, both's a very good answer. Because she also needs to take her steps and walk, but the dad also has to do his part to make the girl safe. So today we're going to look at the tiny book of Jude in the Bible. It takes only around 5 minutes to read it. It has got this message that's exactly like this road crossing, that we are called to keep hold of the faith that Jesus has called us to. But God has also promised that he will keep us from stumbling and he will enable us to continue in our faith. So who wrote it and why? So we have the name called Jude, who was likely the brother of James and half-brother of Jesus. But if you look at the Bible, in the verse 1, he is happy to call himself a servant of Christ Jesus, not a brother of Jesus. Even Jesus' own family member had to make a decision to be a follower and to serve Jesus on his own. And we can all learn as well that even if you're born in a Christian family, we still have to make our own personal choices to follow and be a servant of Jesus. And why was Jude writing this letter? He was writing this letter to warn the church. So if you can see verse 3, he says, "Although I was eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt compelled to write and urge you to contend for the faith. There are certain problems because of which he wants to warn the church, and that's why he has written this letter. So initially he says in verse 3 that he's very eager to write about something that they all share. So if you can see, look down verse 3, it says, although I was very eager to write to you about the wisdom, about the salvation we all share. Something they all have in common. He wanted to talk about it. That means Jude wanted to write about the good relationship all Christians in that church shared along with Jude. But then what happens? If you look down at verse 3, he then says then he has changed his mind and he starts writing about something else. Why? It's because he felt compelled to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to God's holy people. If you look down verse 4, he says why he did it is because certain individuals whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. So it's a lot of difficult words in there, but basically he's saying, initially he wanted to write about something everyone enjoyed, but now he understands there are two groups of people in the church, some people who have the right relationship with God, some people who don't. And Jude understands the real danger the church is facing is not about crossing a road with big trucks roaring past. The real danger for the Christians in that church was from people who called themselves Christians but were not real Christians. Jude understood life is no longer going to be easy for these church believers living among others who call themselves Christians but they are not true followers of Jesus. So what does he say? He says in verse 3, contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted. So this Greek word contend can be translated as work really hard. You have to put in a real fight in order to keep believing in Jesus and his teachings. Why is that? Because these people look and talk like followers of Jesus. And we might easily assume they are Christians. Sometimes they look so similar, but we don't know which one is which. So, for example, I have these. One is salt, one is sugar. Both look the same. And it's not dangerous if you can't tell them apart and you put sugar in your cottage pie or in your pasta. But consider another situation. If you put the next slide. Imagine someone is admitted in a hospital. He sees people wearing nurses and doctors' uniform. He wants to relax and work alongside them to get better. But suddenly someone comes and warns you, be careful. Not everyone in the hospital wearing a uniform is a real doctor or a nurse. Only some are. Make sure you don't relax. But work hard to figure out who's a real doctor or a nurse. Work alongside them. You don't want someone who isn't a real doctor or a nurse treating you and giving you medication. That might end up in death. It's dangerous. And the next slide. Or imagine you join the British Army and you're posted in Iraq alongside other soldiers. One day the captain says to you, be careful. Don't trust every soldier in the unit. Some of them have taken money from the Iraqi people and are here to kill fellow British soldiers. That would be scary, isn't it? You can't just trust everyone wearing a British Army uniform and assume they are on your side. Similarly, Jude understands it is dangerous to simply accept everyone who calls themselves a Christian when they aren't true followers of Jesus. Jude highlights these people are not followers of Jesus. Their lives are in danger. So if you look down from verse 5 onwards, he's pointing out some stories from the Old Testament and to highlight the fact that some of the people in this church are also in similar danger like these Old Testament people. So you look down from verse 5 onwards, he talks about some of the stories that the children know and the adults in that church know. So he says, though you already know all this, I want to remind you that the Lord at one time delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their position of authority, but abandoned their proper dwelling, these he had kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment on the great day. In the similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. They serve as an example to those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire. So again, there's a lot of stories that the people in the church know and how God dealt with them. So he says, it is dangerous to be just like them. But he's also saying, it's not just dangerous to simply be like them and accept whatever they teach and accept everything that they do. But he also highlights that the people who are not followers of Jesus, they are dangerous people. So you can look down at verse 11. He says, he quotes some of other people who are there in the Old Testament. He says, woe to them. They have taken the way of Cain. They have rushed for profit into Balaam's error. They have been destroyed in the Korah's rebellion. So does anyone know what Cain did wrong in the Old Testament book of the Bible? Oh, excellent. Yeah, he was a brother, but he was not afraid to kill his own brother, someone he called his own brother. He was happy to kill someone who is in the family. And how about the next one? Does anyone know who Balaam is from the Old Testament? What did he do? He's a prophet, yes. For hire, yeah. So what did he do, taking the money? Oh, you send a curse on the Israelite people, God's people. So again, you have a person who calls himself a prophet, who calls himself as someone who speaks the word of God, but he was very happy to get the money so that a curse can fall on God's people. And then we have another person. We have Korah. So anyone know what's the story of Korah? What did he do? Yeah. So he was one among God's people. When God brought Israelites, God's people, out of Egypt, and he was taking them to the promised land, Korah was one among them. But he was happy to go against God's plans to take them to a promised land. He was happy to go against God's chosen leaders. He rebelled against God and God's chosen leaders. He was happy to drag a group of people away from going into the promised land so that they could be destroyed. So these are the kind of people that Jude is warning them against. He's saying, these people look like family members, but they're not afraid to do wrong to you. These people look like prophets, but they don't care about you and your well-being. These people look like one among God's people, but they are there to take you away from seeing God's promises fulfilled or away from God's chosen leaders. If you go to the next slide, we have some modern day examples. Just because someone has the title bishop or a vicar or an assistant minister, you shouldn't blindly assume they must be a good Christian. Just because a lot of people attend a certain church or a certain Christian minister's YouTube video is being listened by millions of people online, we might not automatically believe these leaders are good Christians. Sometimes, even if we see that they are behaving badly in an ungodly way, or hear wrong things about them, we might be happy to accept them as good Christians and listen to them and follow them, because we assume someone who calls himself a bishop or a vicar or an assistant minister should be a good Christian. Or if you take the example of you being in a school, you might know someone who wears a cross as a jewelry and has a Christian name. From their lifestyle, you can see they aren't a good follower of Jesus, but you might still blindly assume they are Christians simply because they have a name and a Christian name and a cross. But in the book of Jude, we see that this is a dangerous assumption to do. These people can end up being like Cain or Balaam or Korah in your life. They can be harmful to you. They would not want anything good to happen to you. So Jude is warning these Christians about the danger of getting too close to those who are not real followers of Jesus. However, Jude isn't saying you should get rid of those people from your church, nor is he saying you should leave and start another church because of them. Jude wasn't saying either of those things. Instead, Jude was saying, don't be surprised that such people are among you. So in the passage that Rosemary read from 2 Peter, I think it's quoted in Jude as well. If you look down at verse 17, it says, but dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times, there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the people who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. So Jude is not surprised that certain people are there in this church along with true followers of Jesus, because he understands what the apostles said will surely come to pass. So one of the things he teaches is that don't be surprised when you meet such people in the church or in your school. You know such Christians will exist. But he only wants them to do certain things which will build them their faith. But before that, I just want to say that in a church, there will be a lot of people who are seekers, who acknowledge openly that they are not Christians, but they want to look into the teachings of Jesus, or they want to come for other reasons. Jude doesn't say that is wrong, that non-Christians shouldn't be part of the church. He's just saying that some people who call themselves Christians, who confess that Jesus Christ is their Lord, but they don't want to be true followers of Jesus, those are the ones you need to be careful with. And so what he says is, first of all, don't be surprised by them. But secondly, he says, you do what is necessary to grow in your faith. So if you look down at verse 20 and 21, but you, he says, dear friends, by building yourself up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourself in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. So the next slide. So these are the four things he talks about. So initially he says, build yourself up in your most holy faith. So he says, you do your part every day, like how a builder puts one brick on top of the other. Make sure you do something every day to grow in your knowledge of Jesus Christ and how to put your trust in Him. Maybe you read your Bible, you pray, you talk to people who have better understanding of the Bible. Do something every day to build yourself up in your most holy faith. Yeah, the next one he says is pray in the Holy Spirit. Yes, he wants you to depend on the strength that comes from God in prayer. Don't assume that with your own strength you will be able to tackle these dangers you face in the church. And the third thing he says is keep yourself in the love of God. So don't wander away from the love of God. God has brought you into the church family for a reason, because he loves you. Like you see in verse 1, he says, this book has been written to those who have been called, who are loved in God the Father and kept in Jesus Christ. So Jude is writing this letter because he understands in that church there are true followers of Jesus who are dearly loved by God and who are kept for the day when Jesus comes back to be his loved ones, to meet Jesus face to face and live with him. So he says, keep yourself in the love of God. Keep yourself knowing that you're a loved child of God and stay close to the people who are true followers of Jesus. But also he says, wait. So you see, in verse 21, keep yourself in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. So the Bible teaching is the one who loves us has come and died for us, but he has also risen, and he's going to come back one day to meet us and to be with us forever, Jesus Christ. So he's saying, wait for him to come and settle everything properly. On that day, these people will be judged, but we also learn how to wait and trust in Jesus' promises that he will come back and will give us eternal life. So these are the four things he calls us to do. But also if you look down Jude ends his short letter with one of the most famous send-offs in the whole of the Bible. So if you read 24 and 25, he says, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. So if you notice, Jude spent a lot of time in the Bible, in the early verses, to talk about keep yourself in the faith and how to avoid the danger being in a mixed church. But he ends by reminding everyone that ultimately God is the one who is keeping you from falling. It's not all on their own efforts. Remember the little girl crossing the road? She's gripping tight. She's taking baby steps. But it's her dad's grip that is also keeping her safe. And that's for us as well. We take the efforts to keep ourselves in the faith. As Jude says, dear friends, build yourself up in the most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourself in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. But also we trust that we are loved children of God, and God, our Father, will never let us go and will keep us from stumbling. I'm going to the next slide. So this is some of the things we can think of this week. What are the one thing you would like to do to hold tightly to God this week? You can think about what you can do this week so you can hold on to God tightly. But there's also the next slide. You could also think about the one thing you would like to do to remember that God is the one keeping you from stumbling. You're in God's hands. And you can thank God for that and praise Him. Let me pray as we close. Father God, we thank you for all that you do in our lives. Thank you that you warn us. Thank you that you urge us to contend for our faith. But also we thank you that you are a God who is able to keep us from stumbling and to present us before your glorious presence without fault and with great joy. And we thank and praise you for that. We ask everything in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're going to sing our final